Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, here we go. From the great state of Vermont. On location, here we go. Here for the tournament. Let's get this rolling, fellas. We're down a few men. We're short. We're going six-man tag on this one.
Where's your Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Come on, when in
I know,
Vermont?
I don't have time for that. I don't have time. So let's get rolling. Let's start talking emails, sponsored by our boys. Boomguy.com, 1973 podcast promo code, enter that and get some mouth guards for your sports season. So no Ed this week. We don't know what happened. Could have been a typhoon, could have been a Tinder date. The man is very secretive. He could be getting his shots.
What if he's trying to negotiate his own podcast?
I don't think he can pull that off. I'm just saying he's he's a man about town. He's relocated, he's reunited, and it feels so good. So let's get right into it. Thomas, you got big shoes to fill this week. We've had people filling for you. Now you know what it's like to
Yes.
have to fill in for the hot tag. So let's go.
All right, this week's email is from Tina. Thanks for the email, Tina.
Dana.
She says, "Hello, wanted to ask a question about sports. Why do crazy sports fans miss their own kids' games to watch a team that they would never be acknowledged for?" And she also put in with her name, she put in about to get divorced. So, who wants to start off?
Brad, you want to take this one to start? You haven't chimed in yet this episode, so let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like her husband probably messed up pretty bad here. Now, but I do have a question, right? Now, are we talking if it's like the Super Bowl or a national championship, game seven of the World Series or game seven of the Stanley Cup, like something huge, and your kid has game three of like a 10 game season or 20 game season, like I don't know. I think if the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl and Lucas had a game that night, I'd be like, look, buddy, here's the deal. The Cowboys are in the Super Bowl. I love you. Fuck your team. We're gonna watch the Super Bowl. But I would do it as a family. Like, I'm not just gonna like bail on my guy. Like, we're gonna watch the Super Bowl, man. Or, same when the Rangers are in the World Series, I'm like, look, dog, like, you want to go to your baseball practice, your baseball game, or do you want to watch the World Series? But if it's a just an average game of my favorite sports team versus hit, nah, man, you just catch that shit on replay, ESPN, even though they don't play replays anymore, and it's all just woke news reporting on the white devil. But we can go, we can just go and catch, YouTube now is where you go to get replays these days. So we'll just watch it later, man. But no, if it's championship, sorry, buddy. We're missing your game.
Tom, do you want me to take this one first, or you want to go?
Nope, it's all you, brother.
Okay, so as a coach, I cannot understand how, especially on Sundays, I have driven through multiple states to get to some outpost rink that's barely together to be a part of something that my kids are doing. And somebody will stay home and watch football on a Sunday afternoon with on a regular, week three, week two, the Patriots are on or whatever. I don't get it. I will never understand it. That window that you have with them is so small. It doesn't seem like it when you're in it, but when it's gone, you're gonna regret doing stuff like that. I don't understand. I kind of get the email that Tina wrote in. I could never understand it. I've mentioned it before. I've even coached with people that have adjusted certain games to benefit watching games on TV. I don't understand it. I get where Brad's coming from. That's a totally different scenario. We're just talking week after week. If you're a baseball person, there's 375 baseball games in a season. You don't have to watch all of them. It's okay to miss one to be with your kids, even if they're getting shelled. I'd rather go to a game where my kid is having the worst game than be home watching a game that I have nothing, even if it's your favorite team, you have nothing to do with it. And now with sports betting, I think that's even caused even more of a problem that could happen with, you'll say, well, I got to stay home now because I've got money on the game or whatnot. So I don't understand it. I agree with the question. I'm with Tina on this one, unless it's something very epic that you can sit down with as a family. It's even better if it's, like Brad said, the Super Bowl, or you know how hard it is to get to the finals when you've followed a team your whole life and they've never been or they've never won. Then that's epic. You can miss something for that, but go to your kids' games. They're only small. And believe me, they'll remember that you were there and which games you weren't at. And you don't think they do, but they remember. And usually when you don't go, that's when something really good happens. So, Tom, take this one.
Yeah, well, I agree with both of you. The only time I don't have a kid, I have a stepdaughter who's 26, so I never had these problems, would be like you say, epic something like, say, back in the Red Sox 2004, they hadn't won in since I don't know when the hell it was. So if you're going to miss the game, I would have kept my kid home with me to watch the game with me, to spend time with me and watch the game. If you're going to miss a game, I wouldn't have my kid go off and play a game without me being there watching. But that's the only time, in my opinion. I mean, I don't have a horse in the race on this one, but it's to me, and I totally agree with you, Andy. Kids remember this stuff. I mean, you may not think they hear and see a lot more than you actually realize. And I mean, if it's a regular game, just tape it. And like Brad said, there's so many avenues now you can watch the game and DVR the game. I mean, geez, just that there are ways around it.
Yeah, man
But
up
thanks for
and
the email, Tina.
being somebody's life, be an impact, rather than being involved in something that you'll never be known for. Even as much as I'll say it, I've said this before, I'd love to see Philly win the cup, but the next day I still got to go to work and I'm not getting a championship ring in the mail. So, if you can be a part of your kid's life, that should be number one. If you're not, then maybe I'm the one that's wrong. So, I'd love to have had. I thought this was a great question. Came in this week. I was hoping that more of the guys were here so I could get more of the guys on the podcast, opinion on it. But I think it would have been pretty much straight across the board. But I would have liked to have a little bit more of an eclectic view on it. But Tom, let's move on. Let's start talking some wrestling.
Wrestling. The week in wrestling. Gonna start off first. Brad, what do you think of the crowds? Like the difference. They had the pay-per-view, what was it, last weekend in France.
France.
The crowd was absolutely bananas, where I mean they were getting warnings, I guess, in the arena about being so loud, the decibel levels. And with the difference, you don't see that so much in the US with the crowds. What do you want us to talk about with that?
Bro, absolutely put American crowds to shame. I'm talking, look, it was backlash. I know it was a PLE, so the crowd was probably a little more turned up than usual. But I'm talking, even at WrestleMania, the crowd wasn't that into it. I mean, there were some points in WrestleMania, the crowd was just, snoozing. Every single entrance, this crowd knew every word and every note to every wrestler's entrance. They literally sang every word to Cody Rhodes' entrance. They knew every move, every finisher. They were counting out for the refs. They were into every single moment. They enjoyed even the women's matches. They were hyped up, if they did this in, Podunk somewhere in America for Backlash, and they had a women's match, crowd would have been quite, you could have heard a pin drop. It would have been crickets. They hyped up everybody. When AJ Styles came out, they were chanting that he was the phenomenal, and they sang some song in French that wasn't even a part of his entrance. Like, I didn't even know what they were saying. I couldn't make it out. I had to wait till the internet nerds translated it and posted about it later. But basically, they were singing, "You are the phenomenal one" in French, like over and over again. It was epic. It was the most incredible thing. And like, if they keep putting on these shows like this, and I think the next overseas one, well, King of the Ring is going to be in Saudi Arabia, so I'll see how that goes. And then they got Clash of the Castle is going to be in Scotland. And I know there's like a lot of heartburn of them hosting PLDs overseas and stuff like that. But I'm like, yo, if France brought that to Backlash, imagine the ruckus for a WrestleMania. It would be epic. It would be incredible. And of course, they already announced, you know, WrestleMania is going to be in Las Vegas. But man, if I was more into Backlash than I thought I was going to be, just because the crowd was so dang hype, man. Like, give them another one. Give them a couple more, dude. Give them SummerSlam.
I want to add to that, Brad. I thought for years that those dead pay-per-views that they have every month should have always been more overseas and save the four big ones, you know, the four major ones, Royal Rumble, yep. WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam for the US. That way it gives the international audience something to kind of gravitate to, and it makes something that's a smaller pay-per-view bigger.
Yeah.
And this way it gives, and you know me with my wrestling views on things, that the world title, it gives it more of a robust meaning because it's actually a world title where it's on, you know, a global stage, you know, for these events. And even if they don't come to France for a little while, there's so many other countries they've never been to that they could do stuff with and just get these smaller premium live events. It's hard for me to say that I'm still under the pay-per-view type umbrella, but it gives that a little bit more of a special boost because these people don't get it. So it's their WrestleMania. It's their once in a year thing that they throw around, you know, here and there. So I agree. I think it could be marketed a little better, the schedule. I think that those premium live events shouldn't be more than like a 2 hour or 2.5 hour thing. Don't drag it out because, you know, it gets a little watered down. Tom, thoughts?
I have to say the crowd, as crazy as they are, as they were in France, those crowds like that, they add to the show. Even just watching it from your house, it gets you more involved in it. And having said that, I think they just oversaturate themselves in the U.S. too much. There are too many shows. So I think if they were so crazy in France, because I think that might have been their first PLE that they had. I think they were so hyped up for it. So I think if they cut back on the pay-per-views a little bit in the U.S., the crowds will be more hyped for when they actually do show up to these places, and it'll add to the event.
I don't think that they've been to, I'm going to be probably proven wrong by somebody somewhere, but I don't think that they've been to the country of France since like 92 when Flair was there and he wrestled Tito Santana on one of those Coliseum home video VHSs of some European tour that they did. And it was actually a pretty outstanding match between the two of them. But I don't think they've been back there since, it's got to be what, 30 years since they've been there? A little over. So I mean, it's they should start thinking about, you know, buying more into that and, you know, going from there. So let's talk Brad's future wife, Tiffany Stratton, and a little bit of heat that she's in Bradford. What do you want to add to that?
Man, I'm hoping that it just blows over, but she shared a fan video. I'm not gonna repeat the verbiage that was played in the fan video because I don't want to get shadow banned or blocked on YouTube. but we
were talking about it beforehand and it was good banter.
yeah. I mean, she's basically, you know, used some derogatory. She didn't say it. The fan video did it. She shared it probably without listening to the audio. So there's a movement kind of people want her canceled, but I'm like, come on, man. I don't think she's inherently like this racist person. I don't think she did that shit on purpose. She took it down as soon as she realized she made a mistake. She's a heel, first of all. And I know that's pushing the limits of what heels do. You know, I don't think Jade Cargill like took offense to it, that she was the subject of the video. And I was telling y'all before we got on that on SmackDown on Friday, she had to wrestle Bianca Belair. And Bianca Belair, the EST, She took some cheap shots here and there that, you know, I felt like they were making Tiffy Stratton, you know, earn her stripes and pay for what she had done. And she took her lumps, she took her loss, and, you know, she rolled out and you know, we'll see her at the next event and the next PLE, the next whatever, you know. But man, she's so talented. I hate to see if this winds up like coming back to get her, but from what I could tell, other than the fake news that was shared about her match being canceled, I don't think WWE is like pursuing any kind of thing, you know, especially got their hands full of Vince McMahon. Like, take care of that first, man, before you come after Tiffy Stratton. So I think she'll be okay.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate before Tom jumps in. This any good heat when you're they should just run with it. It's heat, it's on the news, it blurs the line between storyline and reality. Enough of that goofy Uncle Howdy shit.
Oh, for real.
Let's start getting into some storylines where people have animosity. Even if
Yeah.
they're even behind the scenes, you pay them well and you squash it and all that stuff, but go that MJF old school route. This people are talking about it because it's like, oh, I can't believe that this it's wrestling.
Yeah.
This is smoke-filled gymnasiums with guys that you wanted to strangle, like Roddy Piper and Don Morocco. This is what it's all about. And when you don't capitalize on it, that's what's lost in pro wrestling. That's what you need to get back to. That blurred line, like in UFC, when two guys have heat, that's what they need, actual heat like that. Sports-based presentation. Let's go, Tom.
Yeah, these I hate to say it, but the cancel culture of today has just gotten a little bit out of hand. And I mean, they were saying that people were forwarding the video to Triple H's social media accounts, and I mean, Lord knows, I mean, he must have seen it somewhere, I guess. I haven't actually seen the video yet, but I mean, people, I don't know. I hate to say this, and I'll get some heat probably from people on this, but they need to grow thicker skin. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just to me, you just have to let bygones be bygones. It's nothing, it just words. I mean, to me, it just,
It's
I
a
don't know.
storyline in pro wrestling. That's, you know what I mean? That's what it is. You
And
know,
I
they.
think there's a big difference. Like, if she came out in the locker room and went up to Jade and was like, "Hey, you N-word, you know, my granddaddy was in the KKK and puts on the Klan's outfit, we got a problem, right?" But sharing a video that a fan made where something derogatory said that she didn't know about, she pulled it down right away. Get Jade and her in a room, y'all hash it out, smooth it over, and then, like Andy said, play that shit up. Get out there, let her do the heel
Make
shit that
money.
she's really good at. You know, Knuckles was on here bragging about how good she is on the mic, right? And he wasn't wrong. There's even a video of her being shared from a way back. She was exiting a match and a kid was talking shit and she told him to suck my ass. You know, like, she's a great heel. Like, run with this shit. Give her her moment. Like, you know, I was kind of mad Bianca Belair knocked her out of the Queen of the Ring. I think it's dumb. There's a Queen of the Ring to begin with. It should be King of the Ring, but that's a whole other fucking episode. But, you know, she kind of Hulk Hogan'd her on that. But, you know, give her another shot. Like, move on. She's talented. I think WWE is gonna they'll pay for it if they try to cut her, cancel her, because AEW is gonna scoop her up.
There was a rumor that she was going to win the Queen of the Ring, and now it's in jeopardy that she's not gone. But even if she doesn't win it this year and they punish her for that, put it on Jade Cargill. She's like the perfect
They're
person
both
for that.
eliminated.
Yeah, they both got Oh,
eliminated. Yeah.
yeah, some
All right.
bullshit. They're both eliminated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't, and I don't know that. And we could talk all day about how I think they're wasting talent and wasting people, and Becky Lynch being a champ again, and Bianca Belair, like, you've had your run. Let's put some other people over. Like, yeah, I could go on all day, men and women. But yeah, the two that I want to see win Queen of the Ring the most that I was going to tune in for are both gone. So, you know, WTF, man. Like, what are we supposed to do? That's gonna be boring as shit.
Before we move on from the wrestling, let's talk about the two belt thing with Cody and Logan Paul. What do you think?
They finally resolved it on SmackDown last night. It was supposed to be belt for belt, which I don't know if I agreed with. They didn't really make a whole lot of sense for Cody to wear two belts at the same time. I feel like they're gonna write themselves into an issue with that. And then Paul comes out and had his lawyer bring the papers and said that it's just going to be for Cody's belt and not for his, and so on. And now the match is kind of even more meaningless. Like, I'm not sure how we got to Cody versus Logan Paul anyway. like that caught me for a loop. Other
I
than
mean,
him being the main sponsor of WWE, maybe he was like, hey, I'll sponsor you guys with Prime. Give me this prime time spot. Like part of the maybe that was part of the deal, you know,
yeah,
but
if there was anybody invested in the two matches that Cody Rhodes has had since he's been champion, of course, AJ Styles is way more polished. It was one of those people that he's never faced before, which was crazy to me, even like on an independent stage. But I
yeah.
think the Logan Paul thing, the only thing I was ever interested in with this storyline was, is Cody gonna win the belt from him and absorb the belt? And now he's gonna start unifying all those, tweener belts, not so much the IC belt, but is this finally the end for the US title? Is he gonna incorporate that and then, kind of clean up what they have for these multiple title things? So that was my only hope with that. Not that I'm not a fan of the US title, but I'm not a fan of the WWF version of the US title. But before that, epic. That was their Intercontinental title in the NWA. That was the one of the belts that you were like the gate for guys that were going to be world champions. And but they kind of, I don't know, they kind of hoarded out a little bit with that belt. But so Thomas, more wrestling talk. What do we got? We
Yeah, just a quick thing about the Uncle Howdy QR code thing. I think they're finally getting the announcers to talk about it on the shows now. So I think it's going to finally come to fruition within the next couple of weeks where they'll show up. But they have to really walk a fine line, because if it blows up in their face and this thing just falls flat, they kind of shit on Bray Wyatt's legacy. And I mean, granted, he was only there a couple of years, but I mean, they have to be very, very careful with how they do this. And I'm not a fan of some of the guys that they're supposedly going to have with them, but I don't know. We'll see. But I just think they have to be very, very careful with this.
I think the best group that they had was that initial group that came up from NXT. The presentation of it was the best version of it. When they started doing that supernatural stuff, that match that they had that was like sponsored by Mountain Dew, that was like in the, remember that, Brad? It was like a year or two ago before Bray Wyatt passed away. He pushed Uncle Howdy off the thing at the end. It was like at WrestleMania. Do you remember that? It was all like in neon colors. Do you remember that
Yeah.
match?
Yeah.
I think
It
so.
was
I can barely
goofy.
remember last week, man.
Yeah. Well, you remembered that we were doing the podcast multiple times this week. That's good. Yeah, that the supernatural side of it, like I said, I'm always, my view from it is always going to be from present it like a sport. Okay, these guys are a little out there, but you know what I mean? Give it some like these guys are like a little on the evil side, or you don't know what could happen. They're unpredictable, but when you start, doing the light and the Pee Wee's Playhouse thing and that match that he had with Cena at WrestleMania, where he was going through the timeline of WWE and they were on Saturday night's main event, then they're in the NWO. I'm like, oh, what is
The whole
oh.
supernatural thing was only done well, in my opinion, by The Undertaker and even Edge and Christian when they had the Brood. Like, but back then it was kind of gimmicky anyway. Like a lot of wrestling was. Now I'm like, ah, like it. I thought the QR code and the little glitches that were fun. Me and the boy would go searching the internet to try to find the QR code and what it meant. And now they do one every damn episode. And I'm like, holy crap. I'm not even interested in finding out what it is anymore. Like, I'm like, fuck, there's another glitch. Move on. Get back to the thing. And then, like Tom said, the people there, I like Joe Gacy. I think he's a great fit, but I
Yeah.
think he needs to be pushed on his own anyway. He's a comical, just a madman of a wrestler. Like, he's fun
Yeah.
to watch. He has so many like old school ECW vibes. Like, let my man cook and do his own wild, crazy Mick Foley type personality thing. And I don't want another faction, another mid-card faction. You have
Right.
a bunch of those. They don't do shit.
Right.
You know? I'm still
They
waiting for
just
Judgment Day to be dissolved. I'm already over it. Like, move on.
So, because I don't know who are the rumored guys to be aunt or gals, see how I added that. Who are the rumored people that are going to be in this group?
Joe Gacy, Eric Rowan, who's they've signed, he's under contract with WWE again. They haven't used him yet. Braun Strowman. I believe Nikki Cross is going to be in it.
Yep.
The rumor, I mean, they haven't said anything because she's hurt, I think. Well, she had, did she have the kid? But Alexa Bliss is, I would assume she's going to be one of them. But
initially that she was heavy into it, but I thought they replaced her with Nikki Cross. So I don't know.
That, and I think, is there another one besides Uncle Howdy?
I don't know. I think you got them all.
Dexter Loomis guy.
Oh, yes. That's the other one. Yes. Yeah. That's the other guy.
Yeah. Well, at least they kind of got a group together of all some kind of weirdos, because Rowan and Thing were, Rowan and Strowman were in the group originally. Well, not Rowan, yeah. Not
if they're
not
careful, if they do it wrong, they're going to end up becoming the Misfits, and they're going to...
The Oddities.
Yes, the Oddities, that's what it
Oddities,
is.
Oddities, yeah, that's what I think of whenever I see this Uncle Howdy stuff and The Fiend. Even with Bray Wyatt, I wasn't a huge fan of this whole that gimmick, man. Like, I wasn't... I'm probably the only one who wasn't vibing that. You know, I thought if Bray Wyatt was good enough, let him take the mask off. We don't want The Fiend. I don't want the Fireflies. I don't want all this other weird shit. Like, just come out here and let's wrestle. And I don't know. That's probably what drove me a little bit more towards AEW and shit like that back then, too. But, you know...
Having said, you just brought something I wanted to talk to about quick was, I don't know if you noticed, I think it was Jey Uso actually started to use the crowd with the Firefly thing with the
crowd did it. Bro. Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to keep going with that. And maybe that's going to be the first feud that that group has is
the crowd did it on their own. I forgot to mention that we were talking about the POD in France, but yes. They did it on their own. And then the crowd was shaking the camera when Jey Uso came out, and they've tried to recreate it in the States since then, but it doesn't work. Like, the crowd won't back him up. There'll be some people put their phones up and the lights on, but it's not what they did in France. It's not even close. So, but yeah, that's definitely an avenue they could go after if they wanted to.
And just before we move on from wrestling, I just want say what a sad state of affairs that AEW is these days. I want to put that out there, because I watched it Wednesday. I watched it with the kids, and it was like virtually almost unwatchable. I mean, it's like they don't have a clue on how to draw money or people to have any interest to that. And, you know, you got Jericho with the learning tree, you got Jack Perry and the Young Bucks who are, you know, get what they're trying to do. I really do, but they're not the guys to do it. They don't, they just, everybody knows that that's just them. And it's just how they ran, you know, CM Punk back to WWE, and the rest is history. And it's just a ATM machine just cashing in. So Thomas, what do you think? Move on to your segment, some Tom Shanks. Great. Tom, wait a minute. Look at that hat. That is a great hat.
That's a nice hat.
Right here.
That is a nice hat. Yep.
The I want to thank the man who runs everything here, Mr. AC over here, sending me this hat. 20% off this week at the store, by the way, people.
20% off this week. Go get your stuff. We got a lot of stuff on there. It's more than what's just on the YouTube page. There's just go in, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of styles. You can get your Stanley Cups on there. I know that's a thing nowadays.
All right. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, which is located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including their sours, lagers, and their vodka soda. They have something for everyone, so if you're in Whitby, go check them out. Tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. On the theme of Tom Shitty Picks, this past week, it looks like they're going to be shitty picks. I gave you two picks, and right now there's still tonight and tomorrow to go. But my hitter, I picked Jordan Alvarez. He's only got 4 points for the week so far. He's three hits. He's 3 for 14 with, I think, one run scored, no home runs, zero RBI. So hopefully he can have a huge two games here to put me in respectability. And my pitcher, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he got a no decision his first start. He only got he gave up 4 runs, 6 Ks, 2 walks, 6 points, and he's pitching tonight. So hopefully he can come back with a nice 20 spot for me and put me in the green on this one. But This week, I'm going away, and it's going to lead into what we're going to talk about next. I'm going away from baseball for a second. I'm going to pick the Eastern Conference Final Series, New York Rangers versus the Florida Panthers, and I'm doing this with my head, not my heart, even though I hate the Panthers, and I'm not picking them. I'm going with the Rangers on six.
Hey.
So put it on the board. I think that Florida just is going to be – they're a little beat up. The series with the Bruins was wicked physical, very physical, and I think they're just going to be a little more worn down than the Rangers. So I'm going with the Rangers.
There is perfect timing in the world sometimes.
Look at this.
This guy right here comes on at the exact time we're going in to talking hockey.
Wait, can I change my background first?
You might want to change your underwear first.
Perfect timing.
Yep. So let me start. We'll give Chris a moment to kind of settle in. I'm very impressed with the Dallas Stars. They eliminated the last two Stanley Cup champions on their run. We're waiting for the fallout of the Edmonton-Vancouver series, which I'm hoping Vancouver gets by them, because Edmonton is like the Western Conference Toronto Maple Leafs, where all the fallout and the drama and all that BS will come bubbling up to the surface, and we'll hear all the dirt because all the stuff's coming out of Leafs Nation now. They hired a great coach, though. Let me just say that. A fantastic coach this
Speaking
week.
Speaking of coaches, come on now. Say the real reason why you're picking Vancouver. Come on now. Rick Tocchet's the head coach. That's your
my all-time favorite. Great guy. yep. The man should be in the Hall of Fame. Just my opinion. But I know Rick Tocchet watches this every week, knowing that I'm his biggest fan. So, you know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame. You got my vote to get you in. When they start throwing the voting ballots towards the 1973 podcast, you're in. First ballot Hall of Famer. So should we go, Thomas? Is this the time? Is Chris settled in? He's already getting a little antsy. Let me just say, before we leave the Dallas Stars thing, I want to say that I hope that one of the biggest Dallas Stars fans I know, Bradford, gets a Stanley Cup package if they win. He gets the hat. He gets the SI issue. He gets the VHS tape. The whole package for the Stars winning the Stanley Cup. He gets his jersey finally. The whole thing. The whole ball of wax.
It could be a year for him. He's got his Texas Rangers won already.
Yeah.
Could be. Hey, usually comes in pairs. So,
you know, they still play that Pantera fight song there, the Dallas Stars one that they made every time they score. So that's always been a thing for me with them. But pretty epic the route that they're taking, especially where that first round they weren't looking that great in certain games, but that's why they play the games, fellas. Speaking of playing the games, let's talk about last night. I'm on location up here in the mountains, hockey tournament. I said, let's do it Friday night. That's going to be my quiet night up here. The man below me says, no, I don't know how I'll be doing during the Bruins game. I might be a little sensitive. Then we move it. And he's like, I got a haircut. And it's like, I got this. I'm eating Thai food. I'm eating this. I'm doing that. I'm getting drunk. I can't do this. The Phantom sends out a cryptic video. The guy's got a Lady Bic to his wrist. He can't even, he was trying to do it with a Remco on one and a Lady Bic on the other. I said, what are you trying to make your wrist smooth and kissable? Let's go here, Chris. Let's talk about the Panthers, your new favorite team, America's team right now. What is your take from last night's game?
It was a tough series. Okay. It was a good series. I give it to their coach. Guys, very intelligent. We got completely outcoached. He made those changes right after, in the middle of the second game, I believe it was, a couple of lineup changes, a couple of line changes that he made. He said something about one line was like a -7 or something like that. And he made just a couple of swift changes. And dude, that literally turned around the whole series. Like at that moment, like he literally told the lady behind the bench during his little interview between commercials, and you could already see it on the ice. The guy is a genius. I love the dude to death. Like, his, the way he talks, his composure, you know, he's hilarious. I don't know if you've seen any of his post-game interviews. Like, the guy's the man. We got completely outcoached. What else can I say? You know, comes down to that, and the Panthers clearly have our number.
I want to take the professor's view on this series because he called it. He said that he didn't think that the Bees are getting by Florida, and he was right. And that's coming from a well-rounded hockey perspective of watching. You know, when your team's got somebody's number, I thought that they kind of sputtered it a little bit against Toronto when they had a chance to finish him off and they let him come back, which is not a good sign for a lot of teams. You know, you want as much time off as possible most of the time. But what thoughts on the game, Tom?
Well, I got to say, I like exactly what Chris said. I mean, Maurice is a hell of a coach. I will say last week I nailed it when I said the unsung hero of Florida was Gustav Forslund, and he ended up scoring the game-winning goal. But and they had some ridiculous stat during the game last night of what it was when he was on the ice. It's like plus minus or something. It was some like 5-on-5 goals when he was there. It was like some ridiculous stat in their favor. I mean,
yeah.
They're built right for the playoffs. But having said that, they've had two very, very physical series. I think they're going to be a little more worn down than going into this next series against the Rangers. And I think the Rangers match up a little bit better with them, with size-wise and up the middle. At the Bruins, that's the one thing they have to fix is their centers. And I don't know if it's coaching or whatnot. Get on the Bruins for 1 second, but it's ridiculous how many times they got called for too many men on the ice. I mean, I think they literally set a record.
Seven. In
just two series. They set the record already for playoffs. I mean, it's just, that is something that is totally, absolutely cannot happen can't happen in the playoffs.
Well, the thing I like about Paul Maurice is I liked him years ago when he was one of the Whalers coaches at the end there. I thought he was always like just a good coach, but he never was on that right team to, yeah. I mean, he had a stint in Toronto where he couldn't do nothing there. You know, he seems to, for all the time he's been in the league, he seemed to find like the right guys to buy into the right philosophy that he's trying to do. And if they get back, let's just say they get by the Rangers, then they're the real deal because everybody's kind of picking the Rangers to either win the Stanley Cup or at least win the East. So, you know, it's credit to him if they can get back again. And I think their lineup is a little better than last year. You know, if you look top to bottom in the Forsling stat, not only did they break down his plus minus, they broke down how many shots and how many passes he breaks up, how many shots he blocks. It was like they broke it down like to – he's a defensive juggernaut for a guy that couldn't cling on it. I mean, Chicago had him. A couple other teams had him. I think maybe Carolina had him at one time too, right? And they ended up in Florida. So when it comes time to get paid, he's gonna make some bank. But my takeaway from the Bruins is the best player in the playoffs for them was Swayman. Absolutely. He had a couple, you know, maybe – so-so games, but that's their guy. That's their next, if you want to say their Tuukka Rask type starter that they're going to roll with, you know, for the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So hopefully the factor with me with the Bruins being in the area is they won in 2011. The factor that they had there was Tim Thomas. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since he left. They've gone back with Chara and Bergeron, but they haven't won. And now those guys left, and it seems like they'll really struggle to get back to a cup final with just Marchand. So, I mean, it seems like you can get Coyle off his game if you just keep hitting him on that forecheck. So, I mean, they need to take a step back and see what they got, and maybe they can get some pieces with Omak leaving. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, here's a take. I would love to see them just get a little bit younger, right? Allmark, we can get something for him. I'd honestly, this is a big move. I would love to see us right now get rid of Charlie McAvoy. We could get two decent players or two young, you know, upcoming stars. We have plenty of prospects. Providence always does very well. I mean, look at the Lorai kid that came up. Like, he's tearing it up already. He's on the power play unit, second power play unit, like as a, you know, the fifth man on, you know, the one defenseman that they usually put out. Like, we'll be fine. We will be fine. We just need to make maybe some smart moves. I don't think we should continue to try to surround McAvoy, Pastrnak, and Marchand. Marchand's got maybe a couple of good years left in him. I would love to see them like make a couple of drastic moves, hold on to their, you know, younger guys, which they haven't done for the last like 4 or 5 years, and make some big moves with McAvoy and maybe even Pastrnak. He's not built for the playoffs. He's just a big old softy out there.
Listen, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was going. I was building to that. And I wanted to ask the professor and you, Pastrnak is just one of those guys that's super talented. He's a power play guy, but he just is not ready for any playoff run. Or I don't know how much he, you know, does he prepare different for the playoffs? I mean, everybody's going to say they want to, you know, advance as far as they can, but is he just another like Mitch Marner and those guys that they're just happy getting paid, and during the regular season they're banging in 50 and that's their legacy. And then if they happen to trip over a Stanley Cup in their career, then, you know, it's a plus. But what do you think, Tom? Pastrnak?
He is a typical European player, they're getting a little more physical, but him, he's like the typical 80s European player where he's fine once in the playoffs before the playoffs, once the playoffs come, when they start game planning for you and they know that if they hit you, they're going to get you off your game, where you could see his passes are just a little bit off. He's passing it into people's feet. I mean, if he doesn't get the puck right at that red face-off dot and that side with crazy angle, I mean, to me, he's just not built for the playoffs, and he shouldn't be, like Chris said, you don't build a team around him. He's not the type that I hope he should never see a C on, don't ever give him a C. He's not a player that is a lead by example. Watch me. And to me, that's a no right there. I like Chris said, I'd trade him, see what you can get for him.
Yeah. There's a team out there that's struggling that knows that they won't make the playoffs. Like, we'll call them Phoenix/Utah. Great place to land. The expectations are really low, and you know, maybe they'll put a team together like Vegas did and make some runs. Or, you know, another good spot for them is San Jose right now. Send them to the West Coast. You know, they're getting the number one pick and see, you know, what they can get back, and hopefully that works out. So let's talk. So I already know Brad's gonna say that Dallas has got it all wrapped up in the West. That's fine. So I'm going to ask Chris, Florida or New York next series?
You know, that's so tough. New York's just got so much talent. I'm just not big on that number one team and going to take it all. So, damn.
Yep, you want to
say New York. Let's go on pure talent. Let's go on pure talent. This is what should happen. New York should just quickly brush Florida away, maybe in 5 or 6, but let's see.
Tom, what do you think?
All right, Rangers are my original Stanley Cup pick to win it all, so I'm still going with them. I think they're just a little bit they can roll four lines with Florida. I think they're a little bit more physical than the Bruins, where they can wear on Florida a little bit more. I think Florida will wear down Bobrovsky, and he's great. I mean, the guy makes anything low. You're not getting a pie him, but over his shoulder, his glove side over his shoulder. I mean, I think Panarin is going to pick him apart.
Out of the West, who are you seeing in the going to win, be the Stanley Cup representative for the West?
Well, you know, my pick was Colorado, so they got eliminated, but I got to go with Dallas. Audience, I mean, I didn't realize how many they've got a good mix, Dallas, where they've got the young guys like Wyatt Johnston and Robertson, and then they've got those guys that are hungry that haven't won the cup before, like who's it, Pavelski, Duchesne. I mean, they've got some guys that are really going to be fighting tooth and nail. I really like that team, and I don't see it. It depends if Vancouver can get by and Demko can come back. I think they have a good chance of winning it, but of beating Detroit, but I don't see Edmonton. Edmonton's goalie situation is horrible. Either one of those goalies. I mean, and it's, they're like the, like you said, the Toronto Maple Leafs, where every year you know what the problem is and they just don't go out and fix it.
Yep. And it comes down to money too. It comes down to that salary cap, but you need to, you know, fix something in there where you're heavy with those big two and you can't afford to go out and land even maybe an Allmark, who knows. Good place for him to go, though, I'll tell you that. There or Colorado would be great for him, or Toronto. My selling point with Allmark leaving Boston would be, hey, listen, I if they had kept me in there, I would have got the Bruins further, but I didn't get my shot. And throw Swayman under the bus, you don't know with selling yourself, who knows. And don't forget, on that Dallas Stars team, your favorite player, Tyler Seguin. Chris's favorite player, Tyler Seguin. Yep.
Hey, I named my son when he was born after, well, his middle name is Seguin, okay? Because of them drafting Tyler Seguin, no lie. First of all, what a revelation. The guy that knows absolutely nothing about the best sport in the world, hockey. I think he's the one that's going to win this. Dallas has got this in the bag, in my opinion, right now. They are just ridiculous. Mr. Bradford, you are. We're going to call him Mr. Bradford from now on after this performance of picks, man. He freaking, yeah. I'm telling you, I think he's got this one in the bag.
Well, every one of you laughed at me when I picked the Stars. Every one of you.
Listen. I want Brad. Before Chris came on the pod this week, due to his substance abuse problem and his, you know, his current suspension, we were talking about how if Dallas wins the whole thing, he's going to go out and get the whole shebang-a-bang. He's going to get the whole package. He's going to get the SI Sports package, the one that they used to send you with the, you know, the team hat and all that, yeah, other
comes with VHS, the Sports thing. Illustrated jacket.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to get the whole Dallas Stars gear. He's going to get the championship T-shirt. He's going to get the hat. He's going to go out and get a jersey. He's going to do the whole thing. But if you're going to do a deep dive, if you don't know anything about the Stars, that Wyatt Johnson, you got to – that kid is – he could – I'll tell you what, the playoff MVP is the Conn Smythe Trophy, and that kid is in the running for it. That's one of my picks from one. So keep your radar locked on that kid if they get to the finals, because he is very epic.
And he's like, what, 20?
Yeah, yeah.
So quick side note on Allmark, he has said publicly that he does not want to go anywhere west.
Well, he's fucked then, because he's no use anywhere in the East, to tell you the truth, other than Toronto. Toronto's the only team that could use him to maybe put something together that they don't have. But if he's
Carolina, but I think Carolina's, they're all done. They've got like 9 guys are free agents. They're talking about the front office maybe getting totally blown up, and Brind'Amour. Yeah. So
yeah, I think he's going to be one of the scapegoats for them too, is Rod the Bod.
I thought he was going to end up, because Toronto didn't hire Berube until the other night. I was thinking that Brind'Amour might have been waiting for Brind'Amour, but yeah. I was wrong.
Who knows? So where to next, Thomas? You want to do tinfoil hat time?
You want some tinfoil hat? All right, Brad.
Let's do some tinfoil hat. I thought we were going to talk about Tyson and.
Do you want to do tinfoil hat first?
What do you want to talk about, Bradford?
We can do Tyson too. I mean, did I send you guys that interview clip?
Yep.
Yes, you did.
Yep. I'm a real man.
He is way unhinged for today's culture. And people got mad and were creeped out. I mean, because it was creepy. What he said was weird. But I mean, you remember in those old school interviews, those old school promos, he used to tell dudes he would like bang him up the ass and everything. Like,
Yeah,
that's Mike Tyson, though.
he was gonna eat his children and everything like that.
Yeah. And now he hasn't changed at all, by the way. He's not at all. And then he's saying the same wild shit in interviews, and like modern day media and people that don't know Tyson are like, oh my God, he's not allowed to talk like that. Like, well, here's Mike Tyson. Glad to meet you. Anyway,
So
I think if it's not rigged, Tyson is going to absolutely murder this guy. I don't understand. This is not even close. He's 50. I don't care. Have you seen his training videos?
yep.
Holy shit. It's terrifying.
Yeah. I haven't seen somebody hit something that hot since Chris after the Bruins got eliminated.
I gotta
Yeah.
recover quick, man. I'm sorry.
Oh,
That's,
geez. Yeah, you missed. See, you were almost the subject of this week's email about when sports goes too far. We needed you for that. We're talking about people being, missing kids' games, their own family to go home and watch, the Patriots or whatever. So that was actually a really good email. And like I told these guys, I wanted a more robust group to answer that question. But so, are we adding to the Tyson stuff, or are we going to move on to tinfoil hat?
Yeah, listen, I'm a huge Jake Paul fan, okay? Like, I love the dude to death. Why? Because he's got a mouth on him, almost as good as you, Andy, put it that way. All right. He's
Whoa, what are you talking mouth?
one cocky son
What?
of a bitch. Now, not only that, like my son is all over it too. Like, all these kids with the social media and all that. So Jake Paul's like, I only know Jake Paul because of my son, right? But no, like I'm excited for the fight. Seeing those videos though, and it's so funny how social media, like, they compare the two. They're like, they got Jake Paul doing some boxing, he's like one pew pew pew, and then they show Mike Tyson absolutely obliterating this dude with all this equipment on. It's so funny how they do that.
Yeah.
The way it looks, obviously Jake Paul's obviously gonna die in the first round, but there's got to be something behind it. There's no way they're just gonna let Mike Tyson roll all over this dude in 50 seconds, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's the new WWE.
There's gotta be a
Yeah.
plan. This is the biggest money maker right now. Everybody's into it just because Jake Paul has, I could ask my son, I forget how many million followers on all these social media things. It's quite the spectacle, that's for sure. What I will say, though, that little interview thing they had with the two of them and that little boy asking them their body count, that was effing hilarious. If you guys seen that, I was like, what the hell? This kid's like 8, 10.
What it reminds me of is it reminds me of almost like the storyline at the beginning of Rocky III, how
Yeah.
Jake Paul is Rocky, not taking anything serious, training in here, doing this, selling merch, all this stuff. And then they cut to Clubba Lang and he's like doing pull-ups on ropes in some basement somewhere. That's Mike Tyson. Clubba Lang. So, I mean, if he doesn't knock that guy out, what's fixed as
I
fuck.
mean, I think it's 100% going to be fixed. I think Paul is going to win it just because he's been unstoppable. The dude can actually box. Like, if you watch him, he knows his shit. Like, he's trained. He's not just some celebrity boxer. Like, he knows his shit. I think there's a moneymaker scam. My thing is, if they pay Tyson to take a dive and Tyson gets hit once or twice and then he snaps, somebody's ear is going to get bit off or murdered. You
That's
know,
what I want to
nobody's
see.
gonna walk away from this clean when Tyson snaps. That's my only thing. I'm gonna watch it just to see if he snaps.
Maybe they're gonna wheel Don King out in the side too, just to piss off Mike Tyson. Let's do tinfoil hat.
Let's go.
Let's go.
So,
Let's go. We need, what we need is a sponsor for the tinfoil hat, like Reynolds Wrap or something like that.
yeah, like Borden's milk or something. I'll take a milk sponsor. I don't know. So I'm gonna change my name down here to this guy, Alex Shaw. I want you to look him up on Instagram. You get a chance. I know we already covered time travel on here for tinfoil hat. Well, this guy apparently caught a real world time traveler on his Ring camera. So he got the notification. This vagabond, streetwalker, kind of homeless person was in his backyard. He's watching it on his phone. Dude goes into a shed and never comes out. So Alec does what anybody would do. He calls the police. The police show up. They go check the shed. All right, yeah, there's nobody in here. He's like, bullshit. Here's my Ring camera. You know, look at the footage. He goes in. He never comes out. Where is this guy? So there's no back door. It's just this little rinky-dink shed with the old washer and dryer in it that doesn't work. So the cops were like, oh, he hid in the washer and the dryer. Sounds logical. Alec wasn't buying it. So he goes in his shed. He tries to crawl into the washer and the dryer. He's like, there's no way. Like, it's impossible. The dude would have to, like, break his back and fold over and contort himself to get into these. So he's trying to figure out what's up. He's putting cameras up and all his shit. Guy's never seen again. Until one day, gets another notification. His Ring camera goes off. He checks it. Guess who's coming out of the shed? Old boy. But he's like 20, 30 years older with some gray hair, wearing the same clothes, the same shit, just looks different physically, like he aged. So you guys tell me, go look up the Instagram, watch the videos. He's very open about it. It's pretty wild when you watch it. He posts everything. He doesn't cover anything up. He's got the Ring cameras, the body cam footage from the cops. All the shit is on there. Look him up. I'll put his name down here for his IG. Pretty wild stuff, man. Not really a conspiracy, but it's pretty wild.
So it's not a hot tub time machine. It's a washer and dryer time machine.
It's a washer and dryer time machine.
Gotcha. So we're going to ask the voice of reason. We're going to go to the professor and ask Thomas, what do you think of that one?
I don't know. You know, Brad's winning me over. You notice I didn't break out the tinfoil hat tonight. The last 2 weeks, he's on the point with it, man. It's a good one, Brad.
I'm gonna come up with something really wacky next week, then.
It's too bad that we couldn't share certain things on here, just in a little box to kind of make the tinfoil hat a little bit more robust with these stories. So, you know, due to copyrights and stuff like that, with they're kind of strict with that stuff. But I enjoy it. Sometimes I'll go back and forth with Brad sharing things like, "Did you hear this? Or did you see this?" And I've always been a Twilight Zone, Outer Limits kind of, you know, there's got to be more to life than just the Matrix that we're in. Brad, Matrix, no Matrix.
Oh, are we living in the Matrix?
Yeah,
100%. Just went outside today and saw the moon in broad daylight creeping over the clouds. I'm like, what's going on here? Somebody forgot to turn the moon off last night. Kept it on all day.
Yep, see that?
Ridiculous.
Did you ever hear the theory that when you look at the moon, the spots on the moon are actually the reflection of what the Earth looks like, the layout of it?
I've not heard that.
Yes.
Makes sense, though.
Yes. Yep.
Makes sense.
I saw a post of a map, a world map from like 1583. Some guy had it on TikTok, and it was pretty crazy. All these animals that have never been seen before on the outer reaches of the map. Just really cool stuff. I'm not sure if I sent it to Brad or not, but it was pretty epic to look at. And it was all based on people that had no knowledge at the time of what was going on. And when they see stuff, they jot it down. And it's like, very interesting how some things have been kind of washed over with a flood or, you know, other things. So what do you say we start winding this stuff down? I know Chris is on, you know, I don't want to use the term, but, you know, keep the lady Bix away from him.
Listen, right. Brad has my attention on this one, though. I'm going to do a huge deep dive tonight with this because I love shit like this. And just a quick side note. Make sure you spell it just as he has it there. I removed an A and added an L, and all I was talking about was a Pittsburgh goaltender from the Penguins.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Either or, you'll learn something.
Oh, Chris. My God.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's got two teams that have been eliminated in his back screen, so we'll get to that.
Yeah, and he got some Thomas, spicy Thai juice in his eye today, so he's still on the mend.
Hold on 1 minute. Dude, I just want to bring up with Chris on the podcast about this week's Phantom video. I'm going to post it just for you, Chris, but what's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that I had this little gripe with the Phantom for many, many weeks because he never showed his ass up here on the podcast. And that the first part of his name is Portuguese. I don't even know the guy's real name. He's been on here three times, and all I know is Portuguese Phantom. So his first name is Portuguese. I'm supposed to like him. His second name is Phantom. Never came on the podcast, an absolute Phantom. But since he's been on, he's cool. He's calm. He's got a great demeanor. I fucking like the guy. So I'm not going to shit on him. It was a great video, my man. Thank you.
It's two things you like. It's Portuguese, right? And Phantom, your favorite brand of condoms.
Are they like mini, like pinky size?
No, they're not there. You can't see them. Thomas, save us from this.
All right. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
We'll throw it in somewhere, sprinkle it in with a time machine there. So we'll do some shout outs. I'll start this week. I'm up here in Vermont, here with the kids, enjoying some time, relaxing. We'll be back at it next week. Hopefully everybody will be back on Ed, everything. So it's all good. Just want to thank everybody for watching, like, subscribe. My son always says I never say it. So you got to like, subscribe, all that stuff. And if you don't, right there. Yep, Iron Sheik style. Thomas, what do you got this week?
Well, I want to thank Cardboard Promotions because I like them on Facebook. I did a like and share contest that they did, and I won. And I just got a shipment and a bunch of signed memorabilia sports. I've got a Chris Kelly signed puck. I've got a Johnny Gomes signed World Series baseball. I've got a signed Bobby Hull jersey and a bunch of other things. So if you're into that type of stuff, check them out on Facebook. It's Cardboard Promotions, and they promote shows, card shows, and they have a lot of autograph guests show up, a lot of sports guys. So if you're in the area, check them out. They're really cool.
Damn.
And I believe also, Tom, to add to that, they have a mailing list that you can actually mail in for private signing. So if you can't go to a show, they'll get it signed for you, and they'll mail it back to you. So they don't just do hockey. They'll do baseball, basketball, football. They've had a ton of different autograph guests there. I mean,
for all you old people, I've got a signed Clyde Frazier, Walt Frazier, I'm sorry, Walt Frazier autographed, there's an autograph card in it too, but it's an old legend, timeless legend starting lineup figure. And I've got a signed hardwood from Alex English from the Denver cool. Nuggets.
Amazing Race and Chuck movie. Don't forget.
Yes.
Bradford, what do you got this week?
Not really a shout out for a person, but like a homework assignment for people that watch the pod. If you guys are into Marvel stuff, Marvel movies, Marvel comics, go watch X-Men 97. You will not regret it. It is by far one of the best things that this Marvel Cinematic Universe has put out to date. It was absolutely incredible. It was a roller coaster of emotions. Even if you don't know the comics and the backstory, which they do a lot of fan service for the comic book guys. Like they stay true. But if you don't know the comics and you weren't into that and you watch it, it's still so well done. Like Disney finally did something right. So go watch it, man. You won't regret it.
So the crossover for that, for people that don't know, is the series ended in 97, and it's kind of people love that show, and it's kind of like a cult classic, and they brought it back, and it kind of takes off where the series kind of ended. And in that vein, I haven't finished watching it, but there was a whole genre that they did. They did Amazing Spider-Man, which was great at that time. They did Invincible Iron Man. They did the Fantastic Four, all in that genre. And it's all the same animation. And I'm hoping that'll blend with them bringing that stuff back. Cause that would, what I liked about those was the animation at the time wasn't that great, but the story arc from, like Brad said, straight from the comics. If you never read a book, they were giving you the stories that were in actually right in the comics, you know, from
Yep.
the Phoenix Saga to all that stuff. Days of Futures Past. Don't watch that movie. It's awful. But yeah, I agree with Brad. Go watch it. If you get if it's it's definitely something that an adult will enjoy too. So
Yep.
we are gonna finish this podcast with the man that showed up late, Cristobal Huey, former goalie of the Montreal Canadiens. Take it away, Christopher.
All right, I got a couple. One is going to go to the Phantom for that fantastic video. Thank you for keeping me and Tom out of it, first of all.
Well, there's a reason why you were out of it.
Number two is going to go to the president of Bruins Nation, Tom, and all of my fellow Bruins fans. Listen, it was a good season, okay? We weren't expected to do what we did and finish in the place that we finished. I love that team. No matter what happens, I'm a Bruins fan through and through. I'm not one of those fans that go to the game and boo when they're doing shitty at the end of the game. That pisses me off more than anything. It is what it is. We're not going to win every year. I just hope that at some point in this lifetime or my son's lifetime, he gets to see a championship, a cup, come get his ass to a parade. But you know what? I still love my Bruins. I'm still happy that they did what they did. It was a great season and a great two series in the playoffs.
Trust is always YouTube. Take it from me. So on that note, we're gonna
Look.
finish up. It's getting dark. I gotta turn on some lights. So from all of us to all of you, thank you for watching 1973 podcast. And we buy some stuff, buy some merchandise, get on there, use the 20% off, buy something for the there's something for the dog on there, for Christ's sake. So buy something for your dog. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.